we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church. Welcome everybody online listening or watching. We're glad you're here too. My name is Chris Fluitt. We're just a mighty church in Plano, Texas. We aren't a mega church, but we are mighty church through God, right? The Bible says we're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and I think that's talking about us. We're in the second week of our Help series. Somebody shout, help! Help me! Help is a good thing. We told you that last week. Remember the analogy that we can all focus on, over 100 degree weather, you're moving boxes. You're taking these boxes to do what with them? Put them in a U-Haul so you can drive somewhere and then do what with the boxes? Take them off the U-Haul. And it's like, what progress we're making in life, right? If someone comes up to you in that moment and says, hey, can I help you? That's like the most wonderful thing ever. Right. Why, yes, you can help me, right? No one frowns when somebody comes up to them in that situation and says, can I help you? Nobody's like, oh, who do you think you are? No one. We're all thankful. Help is a good thing. When we're overwhelmed by work, when we're overwhelmed by stress, when we're overwhelmed by frustration, just the things in life, man, it is so awesome when someone just offers a little bit of help. Yeah. We told you this. Everybody needs help sometimes, except this. God does not need your help. We told you two very theological words. We told you self-efficient, right? And self-sufficient. God is both of those things. And only God is self-existent. No one created him. Right. And only God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anybody, need anything from anyone to go along in life, right? He just exists. So only God can boldly say, I don't need anyone. But this is what we talked about last week. And if you did not hear that sermon, please hear it. There is a profoundly important point in that sermon, and here it is. The God who doesn't need our help calls for our help. Not that he needs our help, but he has formed a plan that includes humanity. And in this structure, in the fact that he creates a plan that needs you, it needs you, his plan. It puts value in our lives, it puts a purpose in our life, and it puts a calling in our life that we could help in the kingdom of God. Y'all following me? All right, that's awesome. The God who doesn't need anyone's help is calling for your help. Psalm 121, 1 through 4, this is our memory verse. Why don't you read it with me one more time? Here we go. Psalm 121, 1 through 4. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I want you to memorize that verse. Our help comes from where?
From the Lord.
Our help comes from the Lord. Amen. God does not need your help, but today I want to tell you this. Your church needs your help. Today, your church is asking for help. We need to clear something up first. I think we would all agree on some level that we hate asking for help. Am I right? Am I anywhere along the right lines? Raise your hands if you feel weird about asking for help. Like anybody, you ever have the phone out, you have their number and the contact number, that's the person I need to ask for help, and you like stare at that number and maybe you put the phone down for a little bit, you go drink some tea, you come back and you're like, I don't know if that tea was strong enough, I need to go drink something a little hard, and then you finally get that phone, you're like, oh, it's ringing, they didn't answer, good. Like, we have trouble asking for help. I'm on the right track, right? Is that okay? That's like a human condition. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to give you five assumptions that we must get past if we are to ever allow help to come our way. Five assumptions we got to get past in order for help to come our way. I completely have trouble in this area. This is an area that I absolutely work at. So much that these five assumptions are actually taken from somewhere else. Someone else help me come up with these five assumptions. Thank you, Lori Kokora. Somewhere on the internet, she exists. All right, I'm thankful for her help, right? But here are these five assumptions. Assumption one, it's a sign of weakness. You feel that way about asking for help? Man, it's a sign of weakness. If I can't do it on my own, I must not know how to do it, or I don't have the skills or the resources to do it. There must be something wrong with me. I don't want to look dumb in front of these people. All right, before we can receive help, we have to admit we need help. I know that's like a huge revelation, right? It's not a revelation at all. We know this, but we don't live this. Right? In order to receive help, you have to admit you need help. So real quick, let's just practice. All right. Okay, who needs help?
I do.
That's me. That's me. All right. No shame in the game. Go do it. All right. Assumption number two. Allowing someone else to help me means I lose control of the situation. Oh, I would ask for help, but then I'll lose control of this. Checkmate. All right. So check. Time out for one moment. Wait. The situation's not going so good. So maybe you do need to lose some control, all right? Maybe you don't. Number one, if you ask for help, it doesn't mean you lose control, all right? If you let the whole thing go to the toilet, then you've really lost control, right? If the house goes into foreclosure, guess what? You've lost control, right? Example after example, if you don't ask for help, you're going to lose control anyway. We've got this self-made man delusion that we want to hit our chest and go, I did it all on my own. I want to be like Frank. I want to reach the end and say, I did it my way, baby. And no, it doesn't work that way at all. Like he did anything on his own. All right, assumption number three. If I receive support, then I have to reciprocate. If they help me, I have to help them. Come on, dude. Dudettes. That's not such a bad thing. Preach. All right. What if I can't return the favor? Okay, there's some situations like that. What if I don't want to return the favor? The altars are open for you if that's the case right now. All right. Assumption number four. If I ask for the support of others, I am burdening them. I don't want to hurt people. People are so busy. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to do that. They are just as busy as me. So how could they ever find time to help me out? Oh, my goodness. I bet I just feel like we've got some people in the room that's their assumption right there. Assumption five, I am the only one that can do it my way. So it's easier and quicker for me to just do it than to train or teach someone else to do it and mess up. Right? That is a leadership pitfall. You will never grow an organization. You will never grow past that level of where you are until you use the resource of other people's help. It's just, it's plain and simple. Assumption one, two, three, four, and five. I asked Redemption Church, I just put it out on Facebook, and I asked people, why do we have trouble asking for help? And one by one, people basically said these five assumptions, one after another. People said pride. People said they'll look weak. People said that they just need to do it their way, that they don't want to be a burden to stuff. This is a real issue for humans. And if you're a human, you have trouble with this, okay? Get past this. Could it be that what is keeping you from going to the next level in life is not a devil somewhere hiding behind a rock? It's not like, man, I just don't know enough yet. Could it be just a simple discipline issue of valuing other people enough to ask them? And what if you went right past your barrier by asking people and you went to grow to a new place? Man, that might be for somebody today. I want to tell you this, that asking for help does not show weakness. It reveals strength. It absolutely does. Asking for help doesn't show weakness. It reveals that you are cool with yourself. That you have a healthy self-esteem that's not like, oh my God, what are people going to think about me? I'm paralyzed because Sally from sales might not like me as much. Get over that. Stop. I don't know who Sally from Sales is either way. Preachers always go with an alliteration somehow. I don't know what it just came out. So it reveals strength. It reveals networking with other people, builds that bonding strength. It builds strength in your relationships. You can't go wrong. You will not go wrong if you include other people along with you in the journey that have a vision with you and want to help each other towards that vision every time. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength because it shows you have the courage to admit when you don't know something, and that then allows you to learn something new. That's what President Barack Obama said to some kindergartners once. I thought that was a great, great quote. That's basically where we are. It doesn't show weakness. It's a sign of strength. All right? It allows you to learn something new. Good word there. All our assumptions on asking for help are false. And we got to get past that. Have you ever learned that someone you care about needed help, but they didn't ask? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Yeah. Earlier this year, my next door neighbor just comes to me and says, I've lost the house. I'm like, what? Yeah, I've lost the house. I'm like, how does the conversation start there? If you needed $100 back here and that would have saved your house, we would have done it. We would have talked about it. You need us to loan you money? Something. Well, you could do my yard or something. We'll work it out. But came to me after the house is already gone. It's on its way to auction. It's over. And I was just left flabbergasted. Like, dude, why didn't you ask me for help? And he came up with assumption one, assumption two, assumption three, assumption four, assumption five. And it hurt. Have you ever been in a situation where you found out something like that? They had a problem, they needed help, but they didn't ask you for help. How did it make you feel? It made you feel rotten, didn't it? It made you feel helpless, right? Because that's literally what you were, right? Helpless. You felt disappointed, you felt upset, you also feel cheated out of a chance to reveal your love and care. Listen, we really love and care for you. So we would have loved to care for you through help. Yeah. Right? We can't help someone who does not reveal their need. If you are in need of help, please be willing to let us know. Right here in this church. The church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be one big family. If you are going through situations, whatever the situation is, whatever it is you need, there's all kinds of needs. Sometimes we just need to talk. Sometimes we just need to pray. Sometimes we just need advice. Sometimes we just need a few bucks. Sometimes we just need, oh, please, could you watch my kids? Me and my wife have not talked to each other in a year. There's one after another. There's all kinds of ways you could help. But if you don't reveal your help, can anyone help you? If you don't reveal your need, can anyone help you? Please be willing to let us know. I have, in my own heart, I remember being a young kid at church, and they'd get down to that end of the service, and I knew altar call was coming, and I knew I needed to pray. I actually wanted to pray. I wanted to talk to God, but I stood at that chair, and I waited for one person to go in front of me. Right? Oh, someone went, now it's safe to go. But there was this psychology working inside my head that if I go down there first, people are going to think I'm desperately in need of help. All right. Knock, knock, knock. Hello, McFly. You do need help. You are in desperate need of help. Go down front. What if no one would have come? What if we all just stood at our chairs waiting for the first person to go, and then none of us received the help that we need from God? I would tell you that that happens. I would tell you that happens here at this church. All right. So let me practice what I just preached, right? If you are in need of help, you need to reveal your need for help. You need to ask, right? That's what I just preached. So preacher, practice what you just preached. This is your church asking for help. This is your pastor asking for help. We are in need. Can you help? I ask you on behalf of the entire church, I ask you on behalf of myself for help. Do we understand how spiritual help is? We're going to get to how you can help us in a moment. But I want to underline this idea here. Do we understand how spiritual help is? In your head, I want you to just think of what is the most spiritual thing that you've ever seen, or the most spiritual thing maybe that happened in the Bible, or the most spiritual thing you could ever do. Picture what that is. For some people, it's holding a microphone and talking in front of the church. For some people, it's praying for someone. For some people, it would be opening up the Bible, having a Bible study. For some people, it's like a spiritual gift, like they speak in other tongues or they lay hands on somebody and they come up out of their wheelchair. For some people, it's like God sends an angel and calls them into a certain specific type of ministry. And so we have all these things floating around of what we think spiritual things are. Right? So what do you think is the height of spirituality? Prophecy, preaching a sermon, something supernatural? Well, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. This is a really very amazing verse. Here, you can tell that Paul is writing to Corinth, and he's writing to them about just not specifics, but generalizations. Here's all kinds of ministries, and he lists them. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kind of tongues. So that's like all over the map there. You see that? We have some absolute callings of ministry right there. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Then we got these gifts of the Spirit showing up. We got miracles, right? We've got this healing stuff. We've got then gifts of administration. That's really interesting. That's even like an organizational thing. So maybe that's like something that you're good at inside. This might not be a Holy Ghost thing. That might just be kind of how you work. Some people work good with administration and organization. Right. Anyone in this place? Because I need it. All right. No? All right. But did you catch something? It's just kind of sandwiched right in there that might be kind of surprising. We got these height of spirituality, prophecy, teachers, apostles, miracles, worker of miracles. You ever hear Christians talk about miracles? They're like, oh, I was in this one church service and there was a miracle and it was the best thing ever, right? Love miracles. But what does it say after working of miracles? Can you read it? Somebody read it out loud. After healings, those able to help others. Read that real quick. Those able to help others. That almost seems out of place somewhere in my way of thinking. Prophecy, apostles, healing, miracles. They help out. Right? Speaking in tongues. They're just really useful and very, they help out in service. They help out whenever we need something there. Bah, spiritual thing. You know, I was in need of help and I called on them and you know what? They helped me. That's how we kind of feel about that, right? Yeah. Nobody walks around and goes, what are you in the church? You're like, I am a helper. Right? Ooh, look out. I might help somebody today. All right. That's kind of interesting. In the middle of all these titles, in the middle of all these spiritual gifts, you have helps. I can't help but think that Paul is really trying to show something here. How important, how spiritual helping is. Do we understand how spiritual help is? In fact, I would tell you that there are no positions in God that are not centered on helping. All right. Apostles, they help people. Prophets, they help people. On and on. You get Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Do you know what the fivefold ministry is? Here it is. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All of them are helpers. Oh my goodness, that is the height of spirituality. I would argue to you today that helping people and being a help in the kingdom of God is the height of spirituality, which is why it showed up in 1 Corinthians 12:28. The purpose of ministry, let's talk about that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, check out the very next verse. So he gives us fivefold ministry, and here is why. To prepare, it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. There it is. To prepare God's works for, somebody say it, works of service, so that the body of Christ may be, somebody say it, built up. All right, so the purpose of ministry is to help the church. To equip God's people for works of service. What does works of service sound like to you? Helping. Sounds like help. And why? Because once they are prepared, they are going to build up the rest of the body of Christ. You want to grow the church? Some people are like this. In fact, I have conversations with people like this, not here, but other places. Like, you know what's keeping this church from revival? We just need to sing some of those old songs. We need to get out that hymnal and just get back to that old time religion. You know what the problem is at our church? Our pastor just doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't kick his leg and holler enough and get excited, and we don't roll on the ground or something. Well, you know what? If we really wanted to have revival, maybe, just maybe, if we helped, it would build up the body of Christ. And that's the revival we're looking for. Maybe. Just saying. Check it out. All the spiritual gifts are what? There to help. They're all there to help. They aren't there so I just feel really important because I speak in tongues. Have you ever run into somebody like this? I cannot stand it. It's one of my least favorite things in the entire world, Vicky. Here it is. Well, you know, I have been operational in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I'm like, where's your ribbon? Do you have a plaque? I think when you're operational all 9 gifts, like an angel comes down with a trophy. No, that's not what it's about at all. It sounds like someone building themselves up rather than the true purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, to build up the church of Jesus Christ. Now, if you agree with that, I'm just going to tell you something. If you agree with something like that, that's where you could do this kind of number and clap your hands. Could you do that? Y'all agree with that? See? All right, good. It's all right to clap at church. Thank you very much. If you aren't helping, I would tell you it's not spiritual. All right? Doesn't matter what title you are. Oh, man, and there's some people that can, like, go crazy with titles. I won't go down that path. But if you're not helping, it's not ministry. My gosh. If you're not helping, it's not God that's working inside of you. Because that's what he's calling us to do. Do you see how spiritual helps is? If you take helps out of the equation, it's none of its ministry. Nothing's good. Nothing's God working. If I don't give you a sermon that helps you, I didn't do anything. If we don't pray with you in a way to help you, we didn't do anything. Do you see that? You get it? All right. Being a help is a simple way to be supernaturally spiritual. All right. So don't pass up chances to help. Oh, man, I got been preaching that to myself, because there's sometimes someone asks for help, and I'm like, oh, okay, right? But no, if you are not being a help in the moment, you are missing a chance to be supernaturally spiritual. I would tell you that if you want to do great things in God's kingdom, just try helping and see where that will take you. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we're going to look through verse 1 through verse 7. Everybody know where Acts is? Let's look at this verse together. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, this is critical. This is something not talked about much in your church. But there was a racial problem in the early church. All right. Do you see a problem with racism right here? We've got Grecian Jews and Hebraic Jews. And the Hebrew Jews, they are all being fed. Those widows are being fed. The Grecian Jews are not. They're being overlooked in the distribution of food. Can I tell you real quick before we go on? The church still has problems in this area. We need to get past problems in this area. We should not be racially motivated. We should help every color, red, yellow, black, or white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Anybody remember that song? It's good. Remember? All right. Verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." So that's how they were distributing the food. And they said, "This is a problem, but we've also got problems over here. We've got to be about the ministry of the word." You understand? So although this is an issue, this is also an issue, and we're the ones that are called to do this. So we got to figure out something else. Verse 3, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them." The simple word for this is delegation. You see it, all right? Verse 4. "We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now, some people might say, "Well, what, those disciples, they just didn't want to deal with this." No, they absolutely did. Don't think that. But everybody's got their calling. And right now, their calling is this. And there are needs and you can't be everywhere at once. So they delegated this situation. All right? They didn't wash their hands of it. All right? And guess what happened? This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. Verse 6. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Some people aren't comfortable with the laying on of hands, but there it is right there. They prayed for them, laid their hands on them. And verse 7, look at what happened. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Do you see the revival that happened when some 7 guys stepped up to help? Do you see that? The word of God spread, the number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests converted to Jesus. That's huge. And what was Luke is underlying here for us, it was the delegation of power. It was someone stepping up saying, "I'll help." You see, the church needed help. The apostles turned over some responsibilities to 7 young men. The men helped distribute food. Is this a glamorous position? No, it's not. But this help caused the word of God to spread, the number of disciples to increase, and for many priests to come to know Christ. If the story ended there, we'd say, "Wow, what a great, important lesson on helping." But the story goes on. The next 2 chapters focus on 2 young men. In chapter 7, we've got Stephen. And in chapter 8, we've got Philip. In Acts 7, Stephen witnesses to the Sanhedrin. Now, what had he been doing previously? Handing out food. And the next thing we see Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and he preaches Christ supernaturally, powerfully to this Sanhedrin full of priests and people that aren't priests but are high up in the Jewish order, right? And influential people in Jerusalem are present. Among them is a guy named Saul of Tarsus. Raise your hand if you know who that is. That becomes Paul, right? He becomes the Apostle Paul. And Stephen went from handing out bread to handing out spiritual bread in a powerful Holy Spirit demonstration. It is absolutely a part of Saul's conversion. Acts chapter 8, Philip. What was Philip doing previously? Philip was handing out bread. He was handing out food. But in Acts chapter 8, Philip is running from persecution. And he preached Jesus in the town of Samaria, and he converted the entire town. The entire town believes. The entire town repents. The entire town is baptized. The entire town is healed. No one is sick. The entire town, anyone that had a demon, it came out of them. The entire town ends up receiving the Holy Spirit. The entire town. Not a few people. Not like an area of the town. The entire town. What was he doing before this? Passing out bread. Wow. We have no record of Philip or Stephen going to seminary or going to Bible college. We have no record of them studying theology for a decade. They probably had a big library. No, we don't know about that. I wonder who they studied under. We have no record of an angel coming to them and telling them that God has a special role for them to fulfill. Nothing like that. What we have on record is that they were filled with the Spirit and they acted on a desire to help. That is all there is to it. They were filled with the Spirit and they acted on a desire to help. Can that be you today? Will that be you today? Will that be Redemption Church today? Will that be me? Will that be you? That is what led to this unbelievable thing that happened in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8. Can I tell you, help leads to spiritual promotion. One moment, they're just handing out bread. They're just helping. It doesn't say they're preaching. It just says they're helping. They're being Christ. They're helping in the church. The next moment, they're being amazingly powerful in the kingdom. That is what spiritual promotion looks like. You want to be great in God's kingdom? It doesn't start with pride. It doesn't start with what people think about you. It doesn't start with how well you dress, how much you impress people. None of those things. If you want to be great in the kingdom, then you need to be a servant in his kingdom. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 23:11. Look at it. This is the words of Jesus. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant. Old King James Version said this, the greatest of all is the servant of all. If you want to be great in his kingdom, it's in helping people. I want to tell you, Redemption Church, if we want to be great in this town, great in this city, great in the Metroplex for Jesus Christ, it's not us beating on our chest saying we are more spiritual than in every other church. It is us going into this city and helping. It is us one by one going into our neighborhoods and helping. It is us going into our own homes and families and being a servant. That is what makes you great in the kingdom. We need your help. We need your help. We welcome you here. We're glad you're here. We hope that you receive help and blessings when we worship here or when we gather at a small group meeting or at a Bible study or wherever we're getting together. We hope that you're blessed by all that. But can I ask you this? Have you maybe sought to help this church? Have you volunteered your help? And here's the truth. Maybe you wanted to, but you didn't know how. Maybe we made it hard for you. Maybe we made you ask. Well, this is me telling you that if you want to help here, come talk to us. We've got these redemption classes. It's a great way to connect to the church and go right into learning how to help around here. Maybe you've not even thought about it. That's okay. Maybe you have. Well, this is us asking. We need your help serving around here. There is a lot to do here every time we gather on Sunday. There's a lot to do during the week. There's a lot that goes on and crazy stuff, things you wouldn't think about, like managing a website, stuff like getting social media out, stuff like that, like training people to lead a small group and training and writing the lessons for people to teach them and all these things. There's so many ways you could serve. Would you serve? Would you serve? Here's another way you could do it. You could give. Giving that's always a touchy subject, but if you've never given to your local church before, can I just tell you, wherever you are, if you're watching this on the internet, look right here. If you belong to a church and you've never given to that church needs you to. That church has needs all over the place. That church has opportunities during the week where people come to them asking for help. The world is falling apart and that church wants to help them, but they can't help them if there's no money. That helps them. That church has vision. That church wants to bless a ministry. That church wants to send that money to Russia. That church wants to send that money to Cuba, to somewhere in a foreign missionary's hand. We want to do that, but we can't do that if you don't serve and help out through the act of giving. Is that right? Is that okay? How about this one? Outreach. One of the greatest things you can do at your church is invite someone to church with you and bring them. Bring them to church. That is one of the greatest things that can ever happen. We are going to do our best to preach Jesus Christ every time they come. So bring them. Bring them. The person you know that needs to hear about Jesus, bring them. They probably won't come unless you reach out to them and invite them. That's not a crazy thing to do. That's a very helpful thing to do. Let me talk to you who are already involved here. I want to talk to you for a moment. You serve and give and you are active, and I'm going to say something you're going to think I don't have the right to say it, and just please give me grace when I say it. Hear me out. Here it is. You that are already helping out here, here it is. We need more from you. And that sounds like how dare he? Well, just stick with me for a moment. If you can give more, we could sure use it. It would sure be a help to us. If you could serve more, man, it would sure be a help to us. If you could tell more people about this church, maybe get on social media, share some things, maybe get some visitor cards. Hint, hint, hint. We have some invitation cards from upcoming series. If you could get those out and actually give them to people and invite them, tell them about your church, tell them about Jesus Christ, that would sure be a help to us. Let me break all this stuff down. Okay, so giving more. All right, let me start here at this. Do not go into debt giving to your church. If you are doing that, you're doing it wrong. All right? Is that okay? If you are going hungry, but you're giving your money to church, we're doing something wrong and you need to talk to us. We need to figure something out. Is that okay? We're not telling you to go without here, but we are telling you, maybe you could look at the overall picture of your finances, your budget, how you're living, and maybe you could find some places of, man, I'm spending a lot of money here, but that's not really as important as maybe I start giving into my church. And you find that way to give to your church. Man, that is a powerful, important thing. Maybe you could serve more. And let me break this down to you real quick. We've got people that give and help around here. And you help out every single Sunday. I'm looking at some people right now that you help, and you help every single Sunday. I'm still going to talk to you and say, you could help us some more, and here's how you could help us. You are coming to church, and you're using your two hands. That is awesome. But what if God was calling you to use your mind and to grow as a leader so that you are running a team of people who all have two hands? And so now instead of just using your two hands, you are now working in God's kingdom and overseeing eight hands or even nine. Stan liked it. All right, that was just for Stan. Stan only liked the nine-arm joke. Maybe that's for you. Maybe that's what God wants to do. We're for that. We love to see people stand up in leadership. Here's one of the growth issues in every church. The pastor does everything. If we're not careful, we're doing that here. You don't believe it? Let me play you a song, right? You don't believe it? Let me show you how I trained somebody earlier. All right? No, we're active. We're all in that. But you know what would really be a help to me, really be a help to this church? If someone came up and said, hey, what can I oversee? And would you delegate that power? That's an Acts chapter 6 thing, isn't it? Acts chapter 6. They delegated that power and authority to those seven people that were full of the Holy Spirit and full of one other thing, wisdom. Maybe God's calling you to do that. I would love to see that happen. That would be awesome. I will say this. Thank you for your help. Man, there's this thing. Have you ever heard of the term thankless task? Man, that's a thankless task. I'm going to do that. No one's even going to notice or help. There should not be a thankless task in the kingdom of God. Thank you for all your help. We've got some people around here. You aren't doing it for the pat on the back. There's people back there. I want everybody to stare at Jeff Infield. Everyone stare at Jeff Infield. Jeff is now hiding. Jeff is one of the meekest, wonderful people. You can't even see him now. He is under the computer desk. Jeff, come back. Come back. Jeff has been in this church so long. He has helped this church in so many ways. He has been a bus. At one stage of his life, he was a bus to this church. He drove in kids from Wiley, and there was a group of kids coming every week from Wiley. That guy, when we need to move somebody, that guy shows up and he helps move somebody, put those boxes in a U-Haul, boxes off a U-Haul. He helps do that. He is a faithful giver. That guy shows up, and he shows up early. He shows up 1:30 most Sundays. And today, yesterday I called him and said, man, we are in need of help. The guy who usually runs tech booth, the computer stuff, he's not here. And the guy who usually backs him up, he's not here. Can you help me? He's like, well, I can help you, but I was already doing this other thing. I say, please help me. We'll find someone else to help us. Thank you, Jeremy, for filling in. And there he is back there. He's been running Easy Worship, and he's been putting all your lyrics up. He's been helping you worship. Can we give him a hand? Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff. Thank you, Lord, for all the people in this room that help so much. There are people right now you don't even see. They're helping in the nursery. They are helping in the treehouse. There are people that can't be here today, but they're working. And the money that they're giving, the first check they write goes right into PayPal to this church. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I need your help. I need every bit of it. Can I also tell you this? I need your prayer. This guy needs your prayer. This guy needs it. This guy needs you to pray that God would talk to him, that God would lead him, that would lead me not in temptation, but deliver me from evil. I need those prayers. I need those prayers. I need your encouragement. I tell you what. Can I just be real transparent with you? All right. I don't always walk on clouds. I'm just a holy man of God. No, there's sometimes, you're laughing way too much, Vicky. I walk off this stage sometime feeling, man, I didn't do a good enough job. There are times I do that. And you know what? Some of you, y'all just pull me right out of the gutter and say, Pastor, that was good. Or man, that was a good service. Do you realize what a blessing that is to me? That is such a blessing to me. Your encouraging words, that is a blessing to me. That sticks with me through Monday, through Tuesday, through Wednesday. That sticks with me. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your support. Man, not every sermon is a blockbuster. Everyone crying, feeling Jesus. Not every sermon is that. I think this is one of those kind of sermons. It's not like that. But when you support me, oh, that's awesome. When you support the other ministers in this church, I've been in churches before that if the lead pastor's not preaching, you see someone figure it out. They very carefully grab their stuff and leave. I'm like, I'm missing the Cowboys for this. Y'all aren't like that. I recognize that. Thank you. For that. Can I just thank you from the bottom of my heart? Please receive that. I don't want anything you do here to ever be a thankless task. There is no telling where your service in God's kingdom will take you. And that's true. I'm a living testimony of that. All I ever thought I would do is just help out in God's kingdom. The year was 2004, and I was on my way to be a broadcast journalist. And this was how I pictured my life going. I would have a real job, and I would just work in the church. I would give to the church. All my abilities, all my talents, I would pour them in that church, and I would just help whatever church I'm in. I'm gonna help that. That was the design on my life. I had that design on my life. I'm just gonna be a help in your church. And then one day God spoke to me and said, hey, would you like to minister in the church in this way? And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? That blew me away. I just thought I was going to help out. Now God is giving me a purpose and a calling. The truth is I had a purpose and a calling before then, just being a helper. But it led to promotion. How am I a pastor today? I scratch my head and go, how did that happen? There are people that still talk to me and say, how did you become a pastor? Weren't you a jazz musician? I say, yes. People ask me sometimes, where did you study? Which seminary did you go to? I say, I went to UNT and I studied jazz, just like all the great theologians. Did you know John Calvin played the sax? He was amazing. All right, making stuff up. And that's probably the only time I say something nice about John Calvin. All right. Do you want to do big things in God's kingdom? Set out to help God's kingdom and see where God takes you. Stephen never thought he was going to get a moment to preach to the Sanhedrin while he was passing out the bread. Philip had no idea that he was going to win an entire city to God when he was like, would you like some more water? He had no idea. He was one of the few people that have ever been translated. If you look in Acts chapter 8 at the end, he's talking to that Ethiopian eunuch, baptizes him, and God translates him from out in the wilderness back to Jerusalem. It's amazing what God did. He had no idea any of that was going to happen. He had no idea we're going to be talking about the exploits he did for God today. He just sought to help. Do we have any helpers in the room? Is there anybody, maybe you're feeling that kind of bubble up in you? Maybe you're even here and you like aren't sure about this church yet. You're just like looking at it. Maybe you're like, you've always thought maybe I'll just attend a church. But maybe this is kind of challenging you and making you think about it. I want to tell you to pray about it. I don't want you to commit to anything without really praying about it. But if you want to do big things in God's kingdom, it starts with serving other people. And where you start is this. You offer to help by doing the thing in front of you. God didn't come to Philip and say, go to Samaria. First thing that happened was an opportunity presented himself to help. And he just stepped into that opportunity. Some of you, you're already stepping into those opportunities. So guess what? I believe God has bigger things for you that you never thought of. Okay? Are you ready for it? Do you want to step into those things? We do three things every time we come to Redemption. We've worshiped God together. We've received the word of God together. I want us to take some time to pray. Now, I don't like to pressure people or anything, but I do like to challenge people. And that sounds like I'm disagreeing with what I just said. If you don't want to do this, don't do this. But I would like to challenge you that if you want to be a bigger help in the kingdom of God, that you'd come to the front and that you do it right now. Come on. Come on down here, and as we're going to enter into a time of prayer, if you have special needs in this house, whatever that is, you might have been listening to this sermon and go, I have no clue how I can help, but I want to. Well, then come up in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray for you. I want God to reveal it to you. I don't want to be the one to just point you in a direction. I love it if God revealed that to you. If you want to be a help, I want you to spend some time talking to God in this house. I'm going to pray. We're going to play some music. We're going to talk to God. We're going to ask God to use us for his glory. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this house. They've got giftings. They have got abilities. They have got a calling, God. Lord, help them to understand it. Help them to invest in your kingdom. Help them to invest in your church. Help them to invest, Lord, into the thing that you're calling them to do it. Lord, in Jesus' name, if they've got questions, Lord, I want them to seek you and find all the wisdom that they need, God. Lord, I want us to have a holy boldness about us. I want us to be true disciples of you, that we're telling everyone about you, that we're serving people, that we're serving you, God. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's spend a few minutes.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.